Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Albert Hammond Jr. is back. Not that he's really been away. Along with the rest of the Strokes, he worked on that band's 2013 album and 2014 tour. But it's been 7 years since Hammond's last solo effort. And now he's back with a new album called Momentary Masters. It includes some of the strongest songwriting in Hammond's career. He's asking big questions about success and death and everything in between. He joins me here in the studio with his band to play a few songs from that new record. Here is Albert Hammond Jr. with his song Losing Touch, live on Soundcheck.
Hey, guys.
What you call wisdom?
That is Albert Hammond Jr. and his band, which is evidently able to stop on a dime, live here in the Soundcheck studio in a song called Losing Touch, which appears on Albert Hammond Jr.'s new record called Momentary Masters. That band includes, obviously, Albert singing and playing guitar, Colin Killily playing guitar, Hamar Singh Karmar playing guitar, and Jordan Brooks playing the bass, Jeremy Gustin is behind our drum kit. The band is performing at the Bowery Ballroom here in New York on September 21st and 22nd, but playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio. And Albert, there's a really neat video for this song, which is on YouTube and which people can find on our website at soundcheck.org, clearly inspired by Ingmar Bergman.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Seventh Seal, playing chess with death.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Casual banter.
Well, now, it's been 7 years since your last solo record, since Como Te Ama.
Yeah. Back well, I did have the, I call it a mini record, even though it's an EP.
The EP, yeah.
2013?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in between, so, you know, what else have
you... A lot of acid trips. in between, I went to rehab, and I made two Strokes records.
Right. And touring with the Strokes. Now, did you ever get a chance? I know you were talking for a while when the new Strokes album came out, the last one, that it would be great to open for them. Did that ever happen where Albert Hammond Jr. Opened for the Strokes?
Yeah. We did it in Vegas, which felt very fitting. I opened for them in Vegas. Remember that, guys? That was fun. It was actually a lot of fun. What's funny is it seemed like the most fun was being had in my dressing room. I'm serious. It was just like I would go into the Strokes dressing room and it was just like a depressing box with lots of stuff and food. And then you'd go into my little tiny one and it was like a party and a half. Everyone kept on sneaking in there. I was just like, we have a bigger room. But I didn't mind. It was fun.
I am the headliner, you know.
Yeah. No, I never say that. I am the opening act. Remember that.
Yeah. Speaking of openings, the opening seconds of this album are some kind of voice message.
Yes.
This woman is clearly exercised about something.
Yeah, you got a free consultation from fucking Miss Cleo, bitch. Go wipe your ass now.
Yes.
What
she,
is that?
It was a wrong number, but this woman called my wife, and Gus was there and just had the smarts to record it. It's like a 4-minute conversation. Gus Ober, who produced, engineered, and...
Mm-hmm.
He's also my best friend. he recorded the conversation, and it was just hilarious. She just, I guess, she thought that her man was cheating with my wife and was just saying, like, you're going to, you know, catch something. And Justina, my wife, kept on, being calmer and calmer, and so she got more and more angry. The 4-minute conversation is hilarious. Forgot it was even there, and he just put that in the beginning, and it just... I couldn't imagine it. He was like, is that okay? Is that weird? And I was like, now I can't imagine it without it. Whether that's good or bad.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
So is Gus always hanging around your house taping telephone conversations?
Can't get rid of him. I have a room in my house that's called Gus's room. Did my live sound. He does the Strokes live sound. He did the last two Strokes records. So
yeah.
He's just been everywhere.
So the album's called Momentary Masters, and from that opening kind of moment on, you know, the phone answering machine, it seems like a kind of a series of kind of moments in time. Was that the title comes from somewhere else though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it comes from I used to listen to this Carl Sagan thing on YouTube from his Cosmos show in the 70s. Just type in pale blue dot Carl Sagan and it comes up. It's like 3 minutes and it's like the Earth pulling back until it's just like a little faint blue dot, and he just has these wonderful words over it. I use it as like a mantra. It would relax me. Mantra, if you will. Hours before I had to decide the album title, I was listening to it, and I just heard those words, and it was a gut feeling that just felt right.
So it's all about kind of perspective, you know, all the generals and leaders who've waged war to own a little speck on a little dot.
For to be to be masters for a moment. Yeah,
to be
of a fraction of a dot.
Yeah. So this next song, "Caught by My Shadow,"
you are staring at me.
This will eventually be the next part of the video that began with
yes.
with Losing Touch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know how the chess game's going to go?
Well, the director's French, so.
You're dead. You're dead, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear the song. It's called "Caught by My Shadow." It's Albert Hammond Jr. and his band playing at the Bowery Ballroom on September 21st and 22nd here in New York, playing for us live today on Soundcheck. As we were mentioning before, that will be the soundtrack to the second part of this two-part video that begins with Losing Touch. There's another video you've done called for the song Born Slippy, the
yeah.
one that we came in with.
Yeah.
And there's a director credit, Justina Hammond. Is that your wife?
Justina Hammond Jr., yeah, JHJ, that's my wife.
So it she is. Does, she's a videographer?
Yeah, I mean, she went to school for it, and... she's just she's a badass, you know. She'll anything she wants to do, she'll figure out. She is actually the lighting director too, but just because one day she just saw me constantly complain to lighting guys, and so she just took over, and it just got better and better. Mm. And everyone was like, "Wow, that was a cool show. It looked so cool." And it was like, "Oh, I did it. It's a little mouse out of the corner." So yeah,
two songs with. You know, interesting kind of linguistics, you know, I mean, I think we know what side boob means, but
oh, yeah.
Come and Get You, and then there's
I think
the
we know
one...
what you mean by linguistics.
And then there's Drenched in crumbs or by crumbs?
Drunched in crumbs, yeah.
We had to look up drunched.
I don't think it's a word.
Really? Apparently it means getting drunk at lunch.
Oh. Wow. No, well, I always thought...
So you thought you were making stuff up.
I always do. Made outrageous claims like he invented the question mark. It was from drenched. It was just you were so drenched, you were drenched.
Okay.
You have to learn how to phrase stuff that you feel in a way that fits with the song that makes it exciting.
Right.
You know, if you just try writing, even if you wrote exactly how you felt, it could just come across like, what is he talking about? I mean, it's you know, so it's like a mixture of, and melody also helps change the words into something
right.
richer or.
Mm-hmm. You know, I alluded before to your dad, Albert Hammond.
Yes.
Famous for, you know, It Never Rains in Southern California. When I was just getting started in radio and I was still in college and doing college radio, I found one of your dad's old albums, the one simply called Albert Hammond. And it had this great kind of deep cut on it called I Don't Want to Die in an Air Disaster.
Yes, he still doesn't.
And just what you were saying, you know, if you just write down what you feel, people go, it was like, here's a guy writing about all the different ways he doesn't want to die. And, you know, I haven't heard that song in like 25 years, but I think I can remember every line of it.
My Lord, this is the life for me. Lord, oh Lord, this is the life for me. But I don't want to die in an air disaster. I don't want to die on a plane.
I remember hearing it when I was... I have this weird connection with my dad because I feel like I heard all his stuff when I was really young. But it was almost like... it wasn't even like knowing, like you're listening to some music. It was just like your dad and it was comforting. Mm. Can't explain it any other way. And then I kind of... So I have all those... I know all those songs too. Yeah, they have a... There's a lot of great songs on those records. He's actually touring in Europe right now.
Yeah.
So
did that, I mean, growing up with that in the house, did that kind of set you down this path?
I mean, I don't know because I only had that. And I, you know, there's no way to go back and figure it out. But I definitely know when I was a kid, I was not interested in music. And when I'd go to the studio, it was not... You know, when I was super young, like 3 years old, I didn't even know. Like, they just brought me everywhere, and I'd just be sleeping,
right.
Which is normal, you know. Child goes to sleep early. But, not really. I feel like I fell in love with music at, like, 12, 13, when I saw this Buddy Holly play. And I just, like, I thought, oh, wow, you could do that for a living. And for some reason, I didn't tie in the two that that's what my dad did. Maybe I just didn't want to subconsciously, like, it felt so... So the love for it felt so real to me that I just wanted it to be my own.
Right. So the band is you know...
Still here, right?
It's touring. and the other band, you know...
Don't you get it, guys? Go away. Sorry.
You know, you had a bunch of songwriting credits on the last Strokes record.
I did, yes.
So is it a different thing when it's just you and when you know that it's going to be your record as opposed to a Strokes tune?
No, I mean, I'm just as proud of stuff I did, even if I was just part of the recording. Or I never compare them. I feel like there's always this, people always want to hear a comparison. I'm trying to figure out why, but whenever I think about it, it just feels like by comparing, one's always gonna feel left out.
Hmm.
You know, like there's no way.
Yeah, I guess I
feel proud of what I'm doing now, so I want to like showcase that and talk that as like the
right.
height of where I am, because it is. But at the same time, that doesn't put down whatever was created before that in the Strokes. You know
right.
what I mean?
While you guys were getting ready for this today and the band was playing through Razor's Edge, there's always people like taking tours through our hallways and stuff. And someone was leading a little tour and the door was open and the sound was bleeding out into the hallway. And the woman leading the tour said, it kind of sounds like the Strokes, but they wouldn't be here. And and it was, you know, it was
really this, that happened.
Yeah, it was just a little bit before
that's
we.
That's so funny.
It was Razor's Edge, the song.
I know the song. Razor's Edge. Sounds like someone I know.
Well, you want to play the song for us?
I'm being kicked out of the chair.
You're being kicked out of the chair. I'm kicking you out of the chair. And back over to the guitar.
Okay, back over.
One of several songs, Albert, where you do what you just did in that song, the sudden kind of change of register in your voice. It's almost like there are two voices coming out of one person.
Oh, you mean at the end when it
yeah.
goes low?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a neat sound.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun to do. It's fun to play.
There's also a cover of Dylan's
Don't Think Twice.
That was... Yeah. Is that a song that had a particular meaning for you?
I always wish I had... Half of me always, whenever that happens, like my brain short circuits and it wants to say like this fake magical story. But the reality is friends of ours do like Dylan Fest and Petty Fest and Stones Fest for a charity called Sweet Relief. It helps musicians who are ill. They were doing one in Dublin, and they invited me to Dylan Fest, and I just didn't want to do just a cover. I wanted to, like, I don't know, I was doing a puzzle for myself. I wanted to, like, modernize an arrangement. Been wanting to do that for a while, like Frank Sinatra songs, so it came about. And then when I got home, I just liked the arrangements and the new melodies so much, I just finished it, and then it just works so perfectly as like a interlude in between the songs. I feel like it makes the last four songs better.
It's a really nice moment in the album, too.
Thanks.
What about Strokes? Are you guys on a break, or is that...
I mean, we're just we just exist. You know, I feel like I don't think we've never had a break besides media saying it. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's something good will happen soon.
All right. In the meantime, you've got Momentary Masters, Bowery Ballroom gigs on September 21st and 22nd. The band sounds great. Albert Hammond
Thanks,
Jr.
Man.
Thank you for coming.
Pleasure
in.
To be here. It sounds really great here.
Thanks.
You got a good team.
We do have a good team.
I'm serious. You do. You guys are...
Irene Trudell behind the engineering desk. I don't mention her name enough. Thank you, Irene. A round of applause for Irene. And that'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast.
There ain't no use to sit and wonder why.